Browns fans, don't miss A Legacy Unleashed at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, celebrating the greatest and most iconic moments in franchise history. For a limited time, now through April 21st, fans can immerse themselves in the Browns' rich history and get up close and personal with legends like Ozzie Newsome, Josh Cribbs, Bernie Kosar, Eric Metcalf, and many others. A Legacy Unleashed for a limited time at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Get your tickets at profootballhof.com today.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey everybody, it's Dan, and welcome to our Thursday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, where Mary Kay Cabot, Scott Patzko, and I recap the day the Browns had at the Hall of Fame in Canton. But first, we talk a little bit about the latest on Baker Mayfield, some of the rumors flying around about Carolina, and just kind of getting an update on what's going on with Baker Mayfield and potentially trading him to the Panthers, what it might take, when it could happen, all of that. Then we get into Myles Garrett, not going to visit the Hall of Fame, but what the Browns were hoping to accomplish today in making that trip to Canton. It's all coming up on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. This is where I tell you about Football Insider, cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page. We were texting, we've been texting at minicamp and OTAs during practice, after practice, giving our thoughts on what we see and heard. We also have a daily newsletter delivered to your inbox every single day. I guess that would be what daily means. But look, it's going to your inbox every single day. We also can give you access to exclusive stories on cleveland.com/Browns if you become a Football Insider subscriber. cleveland.com/Browns, the blue banner at the top of the page to get info and get signed up. Okay, here we go. Our Thursday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. And here we go on our Thursday edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. The Browns making a field trip to Canton today to visit the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Also had a presentation from Keyshawn Johnson and Bob Glauber, who wrote a book about some black football players in 1946, their untold stories and their trip to the NFL. So a lot going on today for the Browns, about a half hour practice and then that visit to the Hall of Fame. But we're going to go in a different direction to start with, and that's an update on Baker Mayfield. So, Mary Kay, this continues to just sort of hang out there. Baker Mayfield and the Panthers, their interest in Baker, a potential trade to Carolina. Where do things stand right now in regards to all of that?
Well, of course, the Browns would have loved to have had this trade done by now. They excused Baker Mayfield from this mandatory minicamp, and in a perfect world, they would have shipped him to Carolina by now. But money is still an issue. The Panthers don't want to pay a bunch of Baker Mayfield's $18.86 million salary. I posted a story on Wednesday afternoon saying that that sort of rumor, that narrative we've been hearing about a possible Baker Mayfield for Sam Darnold swap, that's not going to happen. It will be shocking if that happens. I've had several people tell me that it's highly unlikely, and that's not really something that has been seriously discussed. Not impossible. You can never say never, but at this point, that's not something that's on the front burner or expected to happen, nor is the Baker Mayfield trade imminent. Even though they continue to talk, right now they are still at odds over the money, and they're not in that crunch time yet. They're not in that crunch time yet where they need to get this done. And the next time they will have leverage, I think, will be when training camp is about to start. And you would really want to get Baker Mayfield in there if you're the Panthers and serious about making this switch.
So, Scott, when you think about Sam Darnold in a Cleveland Browns uniform, what could have been in 2018, wow. I guess. I guess the argument would be maybe you think Sam Darnold could play. That would be the case Carolina would make to the Browns. Maybe Sam Darnold could play for you if Deshaun Watson gets suspended, but that's why Jacoby Brissett is here. That would be a sticking point to me, too.
It's like the ghosts of quarterbacks past this offseason, right? Deshaun Watson, Sam Darnold.
who else is going to be out there? Yeah, I don't, I never saw that happening. I remember when I first heard it, like the swap. On the one hand, it just seemed like the Browns wanted to move Baker Mayfield in part to also move his contract. And then you're bringing back a guy who's basically making the same amount of money, or at least scheduled to, in 2022. So that didn't make a lot of sense. And then just, you know, it's clear that they brought in three guys who have similar style of play, who are similarly athletic. And, you know, Sam Darnold doesn't really fit that mold. He's big. He's certainly bigger than Baker Mayfield. There's that, but I don't know if anything we've seen from Sam Darnold in his NFL career suggests that he would fit neatly into however the Browns are tweaking this offense to fit Deshaun Watson. So it just never really made a lot of sense. And again, the money thing, just, you know, you're still stuck with $18 million.
Yeah, Mary Kay, I think that's the thing. Like, you know, I understand that the Baker's personality and some of the issues that would maybe come with him still being a member of the Browns when training camp starts, that's part of it. But like, at some point you're swapping an $18 million guy who's not going to play for you for another $18 million guy who's not going to play for you.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense from that standpoint. Obviously, if you were going to do that, it's not an even trade. So the Browns would need to get a draft pick in return as well. And depending on how high the draft pick was, that might factor in. But still, you know, this is not going to happen from everything that I'm hearing. And I think one of the reasons why you wouldn't do it is because in the event that you hang on to Baker Mayfield and somebody needs a quarterback during training camp or the early part of the season before the trade deadline, you have a very tradable asset in Baker Mayfield. 18.86 is not a lot for a starting quarterback. And if you get a couple games into the season, the Browns will have already paid some of that. So, so the price will come down for you. It would be easier to move Baker Mayfield in that instance than it would Sam Darnold. So, you know, keep Baker and just, I would just keep him home during camp.
That's the key, the starting thing. If there was no Deshaun Watson here and you were just talking about like a Jared Goff, the Rams and Lions swap, maybe that makes more sense because you're bringing in Sam Darnold maybe to start, but nobody wants an $18 million backup quarterback.
So I guess, I mean, how high do you think the Browns would be willing to go, Mary Kay? I mean, what are we, if Carolina said, okay, we'll do this deal, let's say it's July 17th, and Carolina's like, all right, we'll do this deal, but you have to pay this much money. I mean, would the Browns go 12 million, 15 million? How high is this team willing to go? Or does it just depend on what Carolina is willing to send back?
It depends on what Carolina is willing to send back, because then it becomes an NBA style salary dump trade, right? And basically they paid $16 million for the second round pick that became Nick Chubb. That's what they paid. So it would depend. I mean, if they pay $13 or $14 million, you see where they would be going with what they're going to want in return, right? So this is not a situation where it's just, oh, we don't want to pay that much. It's what are we buying? What are we getting? And the Panthers would have to be willing to, to come up pretty big in the draft pick compensation department.
Okay. So that is still on. You know, Mary Kay, you said one other thing though. You mentioned the trade deadline. I mean, is it likely that this could really go into are we to that point? Because I know like mini camp was sort of a cutoff. And at this point, I mean, even if they traded him tonight, he's not going to get anything done at a Panthers mini camp practice. I don't even know if he'd be able to make it in time with taking a physical and all of that. You get to training camp. Maybe Carolina says, hey, we're fine with this. We're going to move forward with what we have. How likely do you think it is this goes till the trade deadline?
You know what? I honestly don't know. I don't know if the Panthers are kind of playing chicken with the Browns or what exactly they're doing here and how serious they are about moving forward with Sam Darnold as their starting quarterback and Matt Corral as their backup quarterback. I mean, if they're going through this mini camp and they're like, yeah, he looks pretty good this year, then, you know, then maybe they're, you know, there's not the sense of urgency. But, you know, Baker Mayfield is a clear cut upgrade over Sam Darnold. Would you guys agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they actually want to go out and try to win this season and to be somewhat more competitive than they are right now, then, you know, then maybe they'll go ahead and get it done. If not, you know, then I do think the Browns have to wait until a team gets an injury and gets desperate and needs a team that's pretty good and thinks they can win this season, gets desperate and needs a quarterback. And that could go all the way to the trade deadline.
I mean, I don't know what the situation is totally in Carolina. If only we had someone down there who could fill us in. But aside, you know, outside of calling Ellis, my take on this is that the Panthers are looking for a quarterback to get them through 2022. I mean, they can't look at Sam Darnold as the future and say they do stick with him and he plays great. Well, then maybe he's the guy. If they end up getting Baker Mayfield, it isn't because they think necessarily that he's the future. Maybe they think he has a better chance of being a guy they keep around, but either way, you got to think priority one is get someone who can get you through 2022. And then you're kind of rethinking things and looking at the draft and maybe finding your guy for the future. You know, so whether it's Darnold or Baker, I can't believe they're looking at either one of those guys as quote unquote the answer.
And what kind of cautionary tale is this too, you guys, for those 50-year options?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. Now the way they're structured in the new CBA. Yeah. It's, I think we saw that right with Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have seen, like, unless you're certain, you almost can't do it. You almost can't pick up that option because that number is just big enough. You know, it's at some positions more than others. It's just big enough that it's problematic if you get mm-hmm. into a situation like the Browns are.
Yeah. $18 to $20 million or whatever, 22, 24, whatever those come out to be, depending on the tiers that they have now, unless you're pretty darn sure, you just don't want to pull that trigger. And again, you don't even have that couple of months. You don't even have months to figure it out because it's immediately guaranteed. And it seemed like the right thing to do at the time, right? I mean, it really yeah. seemed like it seemed like a no-brainer for Baker Mayfield. And it's just how quickly things have changed.
What was the deadline on that?
It's after the draft.
Yeah, it's like May 5th.
It's like May, the year before your fourth year.
Yeah.
It's early May, the year before your fourth year. And it used to be, it was only guaranteed for injury, which again, that's interesting too, because that would have kicked in for Baker this year. So the Browns were kind of, you know, the new CBA maybe didn't impact them that much, but under this new CBA, it's guaranteed as soon as you pick it up.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's a game changer, I think. And it's interesting that I think a lot of teams are paying attention. Now, we also heard from Joel Bitonio today, and it was good to hear from Joel. He wasn't there at OTAs, so we didn't get our usual Joel Bitonio press conferences. So we got to talk to him today in Canton, and we're going to stay on this Baker Mayfield topic because personally, yeah, you know, again, I wasn't necessarily advocating for Baker here on this podcast throughout the season or during the offseason, but I do think in a lot of ways, and I've said this before, that pendulum has swung a little too far in the anti-Baker direction since all of this has gone down. And Mary Kay, I was happy to hear Joel Bitonio say, this was his quote today. This is out of your story. Baker was my guy. I still remember the Thursday night Jets game when he came into the game and helped lead us to victory. And that was honestly one of the more special moments in my career, just because it had been so long since we won games. He's a tough guy and he played his heart out for us. And I'll always respect that. He's still a friend of mine. We text occasionally. And I think like everybody else, he's kind of waiting it out to see where he's going. But Baker did a lot for this franchise. He won a lot of games. He was a great player for us. And I'll always be a friend. I thought that was a nice thing for Joel Bitonio to say. I think it was nice to hear someone kind of step up and say, like, hey, I understand why the Browns went and got Deshaun Watson, but you know what? Thanks, Baker. You know, you did some good things for us during your time here.
Yes, absolutely. And leave it to Joel Bitonio to sort of be the spokesperson for the team and kind of put something in perspective or say what needs to be said. And I do think that needed to be said, just like you mentioned. Somebody needed to thank Baker Mayfield for everything that he's done. Somebody needed to thank him for going out and playing hurt last season, and for rallying, you know, the whole younger generation of Browns fans to climb onto the bandwagon, to take this team to the playoffs, to get them out of the doldrums. He did all of those things for this Cleveland Browns team. And there are still plenty of fans, as we full know well, that are, you know, that still really love Baker Mayfield for all the things that he did for the Cleveland Browns, for the excitement that he brought, the knowledge that they could be in pretty much every game, especially during the 2020 season. And there were the down seasons too, but you know, he brought back some hope and he brought back some fun and some fire and some energy. And that should not be completely forgotten. And I did appreciate that Joel complimented him and gave him his just dues.
I asked Football Insider subscribers, like shortly after the whole trade request thing went down, and it had to have been after they actually traded for Watson. Well, I asked them, so if you had wanted to see Baker, if you were a fan that wanted to see Baker come back and be the quarterback in 2022, why was that? And pretty much everything Joel Bitonio said was echoed by those people. It was that Jets game was mentioned over and over, and the feeling that people got from that, you know, the toughness, the chip on the shoulder, obviously playoff win, but just hearing Joel Bitonio talk today, it just reminded me of all those things the fans brought up about why they wanted to keep Baker. So it's, you know, clearly he saw those same things up close and, you know, personal over the last few years.
Yeah. And it did feel like it stretches like, oh, the Browns have their guy finally. And obviously that ended up not working out, but there were times. I mean, we talked about Baker. We spent a whole offseason talking about extending Baker Mayfield on this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Who knows how many times that question came up on this podcast. So like, there was certainly a feeling at times, especially, you know, after that rookie season and then after getting to the divisional round in the playoffs, where it was like, oh, the Browns might have a guy here. And I you know, fans have been waiting for that. So, you know, again, I get why they went and got Deshaun Watson. Joel Bitonio said it. He understands why they went and got Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield is not as good of a quarterback as Deshaun Watson, frankly. But, you know, again, I think he can still be a top half of the league guy. And I feel like Joel sort of echoed that sentiment today.
Yeah. And you know what? I think it's easy for some of us in the media, maybe not all of us, but, you know, some of us in the media, I feel like Baker, you know, he did not try to develop a relationship with any of us. I mean, not that I could tell. I mean, I don't think he really had a very good working relationship with anybody in the local media, really, to be honest with you. I can't think of, I mean, he got along with, you know, Jake Trotter a little bit, maybe more than some others, because Jake had covered him back in Oklahoma, Jake from ESPN.com. But for the most part, you know, none of us really, you know, had very many side conversations with him over at his locker, or, you know, you just kind of shoot the breeze with people like you do with Joel Bitonio and like you do with Joe Thomas and stuff like that. So I think, you know, when push comes to shove and you have to write about, you know, him leaving and some things like that, you know, you might not necessarily always sort of, you know, defend him or take up for him as much as you might somebody else that you did get to know. But the truth of the matter is that he did give his heart and soul to this football team. And the reason why they drafted him, and I, you know, I'll probably write some more about this as we move forward. But the reason why, one of the reasons why they drafted him over any of those other quarterbacks in 2018 was because of that very abrasive and fiery nature that he has. They felt that they needed somebody with a really, really strong personality to pick this team up by the bootstraps and yank it into a sort of a winning culture. And so, you know, that's a major reason why he was here.
Yeah. And I think, like, it's not even defending Baker. It's just kind of acknowledging, like, you know, I mean, certainly people are welcome to defend Baker if they want, but it's just acknowledging. And when he does get traded, we're going to do like a series of podcasts on what Baker meant to this team. So just that acknowledgement of like, he did mean something to this franchise, and he is a chapter in its history since it returned. And I think that's relevant. So I thought it was good for Joel to put that out there on the record from a player in that locker. And I'm sure there's others who would say that as well. So there you go. We missed Joel Bitonio. All right, let's take a break here on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. And we've got some other things to get into.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And back on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast, we continue to talk about today in Canton, not Berea, in Canton. Miles Garrett stayed true to his word. He did not attend the team's tour of the Hall of Fame. I don't know if he like sat on the bus. I don't know if he sat outside in a lawn chair and drank some lemonade or something. I don't know what he did while the team visited. He was at practice. I'm assuming he went to the presentation that they attended and participated in some of the other things, but he did not attend the Hall of Fame. Mary Kay, I'm curious, when we talk about Miles and his not wanting to visit the Hall of Fame until he's in, do you see him on that track already? You know, going into year six he's going into, on that Hall of Fame track?
Yeah, I think he is on that Hall of Fame track. And, you know, something a little bit, you know, that we could probably dig into a little bit more as a staff. But I think he is on track. I think it would help him if he could add like an NFL Defensive Player of the Year award. It's not a prerequisite, but it would help to have that. It really would help him if the team could have a little bit more success. And a couple more, he's going to need a couple more first team All Pros. It would help to get on and like an All Decade team. Some of those things really, really help a lot. And so he's got to add to his resume. He's got to continue the double digit sacks, you know, continue to make some more big plays. And, you know, longevity is a big thing when it comes to these defensive ends getting in, because the competition is very, very fierce. And a lot of times you're talking about guys that have 150 sacks or 130 sacks, you know, and even some of those guys can't get in. So he's going to have to really keep it up, but I definitely think he's on the right track.
Scott, he's at 58 and a half right now through 5 years. And that includes a rookie year where he played 11 games. And of course, 2019, when he had that indefinite suspension. Other than that, you're looking at consecutive All Pro, first team All Pro in 2020 and 2021. He was second team All Pro in 2018. He's made it to three Pro Bowls. The only years he hasn't made it were that rookie year and in 2019. So the accolades are starting to get there for him. I mean, are you seeing the start of a Hall of Fame player here?
Do I have to rant about sports awards here? Listen, Miles Garrett, if you're listening, you do not need a gold jacket to validate yourself as a football player. Nobody does. Clay Matthews was a great player. He doesn't need a gold jacket any more than Peyton Manning did. So yeah, that's my take on where he said it. I'm sure he will. He certainly seems to be, whether he wins a defensive player of the year or not, he's always in the conversation. And at least halfway through the year for the past few years, he's been, you know, among the league leaders in sacks. So you figure that he's going to get there at some point. He's going to put together a season where he's healthy all year and where things don't derail for whatever reason. And he starts winning some of this stuff. But, you know, I mean, Miles could have gone in. There's the Hall of Fame and then there's the museum. And you can the Hall of Fame is like one room. It's like the Rock Hall. It's like there's the museum, which is awesome. And the Rock Hall Hall of Fame, which is silly, is at the top. You don't have to go in that room. Same thing with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like Miles could have gone in there and enjoyed all the memorabilia and all that cool stuff without going into the room with all the busts and seeing all that and saying, you know what, I'm not going in this room till my bust is in there. Mm-hmm. It would have been fine, but you know, just the whole thing gets to be kind of silly. And I'm not diminishing like Mary Kay's role as or anybody's role as a voter. I just personally think, like, you know, sports is set up to tell us who's good and who isn't, and a gold jacket shouldn't be needed to validate that.
Well, you know, the other thing about the era that Miles is playing in right now is there are so many good defenders and so many good defensive ends. The competition will be fierce. I mean, guys will be coming up around the same time he will be that, you know, that have been amazing. So it's not going to be easy to get into the Hall of Fame. It's never easy. And I know that we get ripped every year when we walk out of the room and didn't vote some certain people in there that everybody thinks should be in. You know, he's playing in an era where there's, you know, the Aaron Donalds and the Bosas and the Watts. And the bar is set very, very high for him. And, you know, I've said this many times on the pod, I still do think that he's got another gear. And I was kind of happy to hear him say that when we asked him at his youth football camp. You know, he says he's trying to take it up another notch. Joe Woods said the same thing the last time we talked to him, that, you know, that he feels like if Miles were more consistent, that he would be completely unblockable on every single play. So I think everyone's kind of trying to get him to that point where he is just this dominant force at all times that takes over games. And I think you'll see more of that this year.
Yeah, we've seen some of that, like the Jets game comes to mind and obviously the Bears, but you want to see more of him. You want to see him do that more often than not. And that for it to take like a really good, you know, tackle to kind of keep him at bay. And you're right. Although it would have been funny for him to say, you know what, I got a floor. This is it. This is it. This is as fast as I'm going. This is as good as I'm going to get.
Yeah.
I am content with, yes. with everything. You know, Mary Kay, you mentioned the edge rushers and pass rushers that he's with right now. And I, you know, obviously with Aaron Donald, we're talking about a guy who's an interior guy, but I saw a graphic today, most years with 12 plus sacks over the last 10 seasons. And this is a Twitter graphic. So if it's incorrect, my apologies, but Cam Jordan, Aaron Donald, Chandler Jones, Von Miller, JJ Watt. And on that list was TJ Watt. I remember this is most years with 12 plus sacks over the last 10 seasons. It was Cam Jordan with 5 and those other players had 4. TJ Watt hasn't been in the league 10 seasons. And he's already on that list. Now, Miles probably would have been on that list had he not been suspended in 2019. But, you know, that's the other part of Miles' story, I think, is he hasn't had that complete year yet where he's just from start to finish been dominant. And he hasn't had those opportunities to perform on the biggest stages over and over again, including in the playoffs. He's only been in the playoffs once and he had COVID and he wasn't Miles Garrett in those playoff games.
Yeah. And that's go ahead, Scott.
I was going to say for the record, TJ Watt, 3 of it or 4 of his 5 years over 12, 13, 14, 15. Then last year's 22 and a half. So he's on a nice roll.
Yeah, he is getting, talk about getting better. My goodness. He really had a phenomenal year last year. And that's one of those reasons why, you know, you can never really count out the Steelers just because their defense can take over games like that. But yeah, I mean, I do think that Miles is capable of more big plays, more turnovers, more takeaways, more trips to the backfield, more tackles for loss. And I think that's what they would like to see as well. So we'll see what he's got. I asked him, you know, what do you have planned this summer between mini camp? He does have something up his sleeve, but he wasn't willing to say what it was. So we'll have to look for it on Instagram or something.
Everybody is so coy about things in this. They never want to tell us, like, what are you doing this summer? Like, where are you going? Everybody's so, it's like Fort Knox. Like, come on. Yeah. Kevin couldn't even tell us that he had excused Miles from the Hall of Fame visit. Like, come on, throw us a bone here. Just tell us.
Yeah, we drove all the way down here and we're standing out here in 95 degree heat. And, you know, nice little detail would have helped.
I looked up Miles' numbers here too, and he was really close to making. He's been over 12 and 3 of the past 4 years. The only year he didn't make it was 2019. He had 10. And that was the year he played 10 games. So four straight years, double digits, which is pretty good.
He's had 2 years in 2019 and 2020 when he definitely was in the running for defensive player of the year. And then something sidetracked him. Yeah. One that was very much in his control. Another that was out of his control. Okay. So the last thing, the Hall of Fame visit and Mary Kay, this is obviously, mandatory mini camp, Kevin getting his guys away from their facility in Berea for a day. And then tomorrow or today, when people hear this, they're going to practice at First Energy Stadium. Just when you heard Kevin talk about why he was taking the team to the Hall of Fame, and it's something that the Browns can do because they're right up the road. Did you kind of get a feel for why he thought this was important?
Yeah, I think he really means it when he talks about the history of the game and how much they need to, you know, reach back and honor the players who have come before them and who have paved the way for them to be here where they are right now. And there are so many good Browns players and Hall of Fame Browns players. I mean, he showed the Jim Brown football life on the bus on the way down. Some of Marion Motley's family members were there. But there are so many players like that in Browns history that these guys should know about. And I remember back in the day, I used to always ask the running backs, have you watched Jim Brown highlights? Do you know anything about Jim Brown? A lot of times they hadn't. And I just think it should be a prerequisite for that, right? So I thought it was smart that he did that. And I do think that it's meaningful that they are taking advantage of being just a little more than an hour away from the Hall of Fame, and how cool that probably is for a lot of guys to, you know, to be in there and maybe to even get the wheels going and think, you know what, maybe I can be in there too.
You know, every year after the draft, I write Browns Rookie 101. I apparently nobody's reading it. They should know all this stuff already. I cover it all. But I think from like the team building standpoint, this trip makes a lot of sense, especially when you think back to how last season ended, people talking about how the offense and defense weren't, you know, on the same page, just team-wise. You had obviously the whole Baker OBJ thing and people kind of sticking up and saying, you know, we take OBJ back in a second. And that really didn't seem to be the vibe people on the outside were really expecting in that situation. You had Anthony Walker today talking about how there was this standoffish vibe last year. So, you know, getting everybody on the bus and down doing something like this, it's technically a mini camp practice, but really it's kind of like a field trip. Seems like they're making an effort to kind of address things that happened last year.
And he did it during mandatory mini camp, which I think is interesting. You know, this wasn't like an OTA day where guys could say, I don't want to go, or I'm going to sit this one out. He did it at a time when everybody had to go, well, with the exception of Miles, who was there again. He was at practice, he was at other things, but I think this was we kind of forget that a lot of these guys, they're kind of consumed by football, right? It's their lives to get to the NFL, but like, I'm sure they aren't making family trips to the Hall of Fame for a lot of these guys. They're in different parts of the country. A lot of them come from backgrounds where there's no way they could have ever afforded a trip like that to begin with. And it's just, so this is a cool opportunity to introduce them. You know, they knew who a lot of these players were, but like to introduce them to that history and just put them in a position where they can dive in a little bit and maybe learn more about the background of the game.
Yeah, and you know what? It just in terms of Kevin excusing Miles, I was really hoping that he would. I mean, what purpose would it have served to, you know, to make Miles do something that, you know, he had set out as a rookie not to do, not to set foot in there until he makes the Hall of Fame? So I was kind of glad that Kevin honored that. And I think it showed that, you know, that he's, you know, he's open to communication. He's, you know, he'll listen to his players. And if something makes sense to him, he'll be open to doing it. Do you guys agree that that would have been not the wisest move to sort of force Miles to go in there today?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, somebody out there might make the case that, well, Miles should have gone. It's a team building thing. But yeah, I think it's a show of respect. Like, okay, I understand you have a good reason for not wanting to do this. I understand that, and I'm going to respect it.
I mean, Miles flew everybody down to what, Miami? I mean, right. he's done his part in team building this offseason.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, like, you know, if people are kind of out there, like, how much did this really mean to guys? I mean, there were players posting on their Instagram stories, you know, busts that they were finding, and, you know, John Johnson, David Njoku, there were guys posting some of these photos that they were taking while they were walking through. So definitely a cool experience for a lot of these guys, I'm sure. Okay. For us, it was standing out in the heat for a long time.
Quick question, though. Have either of you been to the Hall of Fame just to go through it?
I have, but it's been a while since I've gone.
I am loathe to admit that I have not been in there. I am a Hall of Fame selector, and I have not toured the Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Well, you're not going to go until you're in it. That's what
that's right. That is exactly right.
I like it. Mary Kay is excused. We are excusing Mary yes. Kay.
Thank you.
I do need to go back. My daughter went on a field. She's not even a football fan. She went on a field trip 2 years ago, I think. And she thought it was a cool place. So I do need to make my way back there.
I was embedded with the Glenville High School team. Like, this is probably 2015, 2014, whenever they made the state final last, or around that time when they made it. And I basically rode down with them, spent the whole day with them, and they went over there. And that's like the only time I had been in it, but it was more spent like watching them, you know, and what they were doing in the Hall of Fame than actually like enjoying it myself. So I've never technically gone to just go through it.
Well, maybe we could do a little Cleveland.com field trip to the Hall of Fame, tape a podcast from down there, take some questions from some fans, do a little public appearance. What do you guys think?
It depends on the timing.
All right.
send me a save the date.
Yeah. Will do.
No, that maybe we should. That should be like it could be like a little football insider thing or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's right. Our bosses listen to this podcast.
Hint. That's right.
That's true. I'll put a little disclaimer in for them to turn it off before we get to that part. We don't want to commit too much here. All right. That'll do it for this edition of the Orange and Brown Talk podcast. I mentioned Football Insider. If you're not a Football Insider, cleveland.com/browns, the blue banner at the top of the page to get info, get signed up. And make sure you're subscribed to our podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. For Mary Kay and Scott, I'm Dan. Thanks for listening, everybody.